Amen. Amen. Go ahead and give God a hand of praise in the house. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We thank God for all of you and all of you who are here live with us. And those of you who are tuning in via Facebook, we thank God for you as well. Amen. And we are blessed today and thankful. And so we are glad to come to you at this time with a word from the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, you can, if you don't have our notes, you can find them online at teachingbible.org. But we're going to go right ahead for those of you in the sanctuary. And we're going to take a look at the book of Habakkuk. Give you a minute to find that. We know that's maybe not an easy one. Amen. The book of Habakkuk. But you may have a handout there. If you don't, look it up in your Bible. And also for a New Testament passage, we'll take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this will be found in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Amen. We're not going to read all the text, but I'm going to allude to it today in the message. And we know that God has a blessing. Amen. Because he promised to bless his word as it goes forth. Amen. 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 We just want to thank the Lord one more time. And just before we break the bread of life, let's have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you right now. Father, we thank you for another day's journey. Father, we thank you that we are clothed and in our right minds. And Father, we thank you for every person under the sound of my voice, no matter who they are, no matter where they are. We just thank you right now, Lord God. Father, we come to you because you are almighty and all-powerful. And without you, we can't do anything. And so, Father, we want to thank you today for everything that you already have done. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, O God. We thank you for every good and perfect gift which you have sent down from above. Father, in your word, James called you the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And so, Father, we thank you right now for being almighty and all-powerful in our lives. And, God, we ask you to look over somebody that's hearing the word today for the first time. Let them know how much you love them. Let them know how much you have done for them in order that they might be saved. And, Father, we bless you right now. We give you praise. And we thank you for all that you are doing. We thank you for what you've already done. And we ask you to bless our ears right now, oh, God, and bless our minds, oh God, that we might understand what the Spirit said to the churches. And we ask this in the mighty name of your risen Son, Jesus the Christ. And it's in his righteous name that we pray. And all the saints said together, amen. Go ahead and give God a hand and a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for letting us be here today. So I got a good subject that the Lord put in my heart to talk with you about today, because we're on the coming up on the heels of one of the most celebrated times in the Christian faith that we call Passover, that's coming up. And we'll be getting into some things regarding that subject. But God said, talk to them about this subject today. And so we want to do that. So like life in the fallen world offers many challenges. Many are difficult and evil things that must be endured as we go about seeking to make a better life for ourselves and for our families and our friends. One must wonder why God allows so many evil things to exist rather than shutting them down right away, since he has the power to do so. People wonder that. That's the kind of questions people ask. So today's message prepares us for the upcoming week in which we see Jesus, God's only begotten Son, preparing himself to fulfill everything required by God, his Father, as stated in the biblical prophecy, so that believers in him would become able to live lives committed to improvement. This is the reason, let's call it, that's just a good nutshell statement to talk about the purpose for God sending his Son to save the world from sin, to call out a people for his own possession, like you and I who are in this room, and many of you who are listening any other way, that God has called us out to have a commitment to improvement. You know what? He has to supply the perfection that he requires, because you and I don't have it. There's nothing we can do ourselves to make ourselves right before God. without apart from what God has provided for us in the giving of his son. So this is why people ask, well, why do Christians make such a big deal about what God has done through Jesus' son? Well, the reason it's a big deal is that it's the only deal that you and I can have in order to be right, in order to be set at the perfection, the level that God requires for his people. It must be done from the end of God, not from our end. There's nothing that we can do ourselves to set ourselves in the sight of God in perfection like God has done. And so what we see when we see that first advent of Jesus the Christ coming into the world is that God sent his son just as he had spoken. He had prophesied in his word throughout many generations that he would send the Messiah into the world, his son, Jesus the Christ, the son of the living God. And so God was right on target right at the time that he promised to do this. But throughout the years, people who have trusted in God have looked at the behaviors of men in the world and the kind of things people do, and they have been perplexed at why God would allow some of the things that go on in the world. And you and I have probably had that conversation, if not openly, but mentally perhaps. And so as we approach this season here, when God gave Jesus his only begotten son, who has set his face toward Calvary around this time of year, Jesus was coming to the conclusion of a 3.5-year ministry. And he set his face toward Calvary, toward the cross, because he understood the holiness and the righteousness of God his Father. And it had all been written down blow by blow with great perfection in God's word. And Jesus had come to fulfill everything that the prophets had spoken in order that God would be satisfied and that believers, whoever trust him, would be able to be saved and to commit their lives to improvement. Now, it could be said that the Christian faith is about committing your life to improvement. It's not that we become instantly perfect, but we become better and better as we walk by faith. As we study the word and as God's word begins to manifest itself into our lives, we get to be better men and women than we were before we started. The great news is when you trust Christ, God declares you perfect. And that's the only way you can be declared perfect. The only way you can be saved is to trust in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, we know this message has been polluted a great deal. The devil has his targets set against the good news that you and I call the gospel that we rely on every day of our lives. But we want to make it very clear to everybody listening anywhere that God has one way that we can be saved. The Bible says there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. And there's one God and one Father who is above all and through all, and he's in all of you who trust and believe in him. And so you and I preach that. And the fact is, the Bible says to as many as receive him, speaking about Jesus in John chapter 1, to them he gives the authority or the right to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name. So we preach Christ crucified, as Paul said, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness, but unto us who are being saved, it is the power and the wisdom of God. So God is imparting to those who trust in Christ his authority. He's giving you power. He's giving you a status of perfection so that you can be at peace in your own mind about who you are. But you know what? He doesn't snatch away every behavior that you and I have. And that's where we kind of get tripped up. We start to think about some of the stuff that still lingers in our own lives. Sinful things that need to be dealt with. And they begin to perplex you. You know what? Before you were saved, sin didn't bother you. And I'm going to speak for me. The room got quiet when I said that. I'm going to speak for me. Before I got saved, sin was not a problem to me. I enjoyed it. I loved it. Wanted to do it. I got up every day thinking about sin. You see, either consciously or subconsciously. And the truth is, even since I've been saved, guess what? Sin has still been a problem. Except now the script is flipped. At first it wasn't a problem. I enjoyed it. I wanted to get into it. You know, I would have told you something terrible if you had talked to me about what you're doing is sin. Oh, you better not say that to me, because I'll cut you so low you can sit on a cigarette paper and swing your legs. That's the way I used to be. But the fact is, when I understood how ugly sin is, that it was necessary for God to send his only begotten son, who came out of eternity with complete perfection, being God in the flesh, to dwell among sinners like us in order to give his life as a ransom for many, and that he was crucified on the tree, died on there for all of our sins, for whosoever believes in him, and then he defeated death, which is the penalty for sin, got out the grave and declared, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And then he dispatched his church. The term church is ecclesia in the Greek. It means the called out ones. You've been called out of that sinful life in order that you might receive perfection from God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. And you know what? He's the only one with the answer because he's the only one got up out the grave. That's how you know. Everybody else professing to be a religious figure in the world, you got a whole lot of them out there talking about that they are some religious figure. They're professing that they have a way of salvation, but the only problem is they're still in the grave. The good news about Christ is that he got up out the grave and he declared, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And so this is the good news that you and I call the gospel. He told the disciples to go ye, therefore, after he had gotten out the grave and declared all power. You know what? He's the only one who could really declare all power is given to me. Because he's the only one that was able to get out of that grave and tangle with death and the devil. And say, I still have all power. He said, I am he who was and who is and who is to come. The Almighty. You see, and I got up and declare all power, even the power of death and the grave has been swallowed up in victory. And he did that for me and you to give us authority over the sin in our lives. Now, you may say, preacher, I don't think I have authority over the sin in my life. You know what? It's a difficult thing. But what he does, let me go ahead and say this. He wants you to have a commitment to improvement. You've got to be on the right course. That's why he said, go out, preach the gospel. That's good news that God will give you this perfect status that I just mentioned to you. That he will give you the status of being saved by his grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And that alone, that's the only way we can be right, is by his grace through faith in his Son, Jesus the Christ. And then he will also equip you to be able to go out and live a better life. He'll show you how to do things right. That's why we need a book that we call the Holy Bible that teaches us how to walk by faith and not by sight. See, we have to learn to trust God in every situation. There are situations in our life right now that we haven't turned over to God. So we want to know, why is it still bothering me? Why do I still have a problem? Why can't I treat people the way God says I should treat them in his word? And that's what we have to learn. We have to have a commitment to improvement. Now, I always used to say this, and I still believe it's true, and you probably will agree with me, that God says that, and God didn't say this, I said this. This is a quote from Pastor Fisher. The greatest and the biggest room in the world is room for improvement. There's no room bigger than the room for improvement. No matter how good we are or how good we have become, we can be better. But you know what? We have to set our hope on it. Set our minds on it. Declare by faith that God is going to give me the power and the authority that I need personally to do his will. In order to know that, I need to set my mind on his word and be a disciple of Jesus the Christ. That's why he said, go into all the nations and teach. See, so teaching is the critical thing. So you can say, oh, I'm saved and I'm devoted to God, but you need to be devoted to discipleship as well in order for you to be improved in your life. Because there are some mechanisms that are in God's word that God, the Holy Spirit, will give you in order to make you the kind of man or woman God wants you to be. You know what? You can start anywhere. This is the part I love. You don't have to start already at some level. A lot of people fail to come to Christ because they go, oh, you know, I got too much baggage and he won't take me. And that's a lie from the devil. I want to let you know. God will take you right now. No matter who you are, no matter what you're dealing with, he said, whosoever will, let him come. Whoever comes to me, he said, I will in no wise cast him out. He said, I will not cast you out, but you know what? You have to come to him. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Some of y'all know that. Some of you know you came to Christ some time ago, just like you were. You realize one day I can't do anything without him. And you came by faith. You embrace the good news, which we call the gospel, that God loves you just like you are. He knows our predicament. Psalms 102 says, he, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who are his, because he knows, he remembers our frame, that we are but dust. So God knows you got issues. He knows you have problems. He knows that there's sin in your life. And he said, come to me anyway, right now. And I declare you righteous by faith in my Son, Jesus the Christ, who satisfied me entirely. That's what God the Father is saying to you today. But you know what? When we live in a world and we look around and we see all kinds of trouble and evil going on, you wonder, God, are you aware of all the evil that's going on in the world? And the fact is, he is. But a lot of times it's hard for us to see it from the vantage point of earth. Just like Habakkuk, he was having some trouble here. I'm going to show you just a few verses in Habakkuk chapter number 1. The burden of the word of Habakkuk, some people say, or Habakkuk, I say, the prophet that he did see. This is Habakkuk's complaint. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry and thou will not hear? You ever feel like you're crying out to God and he's not hearing you? You ever ask for something that looked like it's been a long time coming? Don't know where you're at, God. I'm in a situation right now, but I don't see where you're coming from, Lord. Why is this thing going on? Why do I have to deal with it day after day after day? Habakkuk felt like that. He looked around at the covenant people, and they were a mess. They were involved in some of everything. They had had committed themselves to Gentile practices. That's people who didn't know God. And they were out there doing stuff according to the world, not according to the word of God that they had been brought up in. Habakkuk was trying to stay close to the center. So he asked God, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? He said, I've been praying, Lord, and it don't look like you hear what I'm saying. You ever feel like that when you pray, you call out to God about a thing and it just seems like God isn't listening? So Habakkuk felt like that. He said, why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance of spoiling and violence? And before me there are that raise up strife and contention. Why do you let all these people do all of this stuff that you hate, that you call it sin in your word? Why do you let it go on, Lord? You ever find yourself like that? Habakkuk did, and he was wondering, why, God, oh, why? He went on to say, therefore the law is slack. In other words, people know what you said, God. They know what's true, but they are not concerned about it. The law is slack, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. You ever feel like that when you find stuff going on in the world? How can they pass a law like that? How can they allow this? How can they allow that? Why are these people getting away with murder? Sometimes literally. And the fact is, you wonder. So Habakkuk was in a similar situation. Now God gives him an answer that I think we can get a little help here today. Verse 5, he says, behold ye among the heathen. Heathen is a word that means folks who do not embrace God and his salvation. That can be anybody, no matter who you are, what ethnicity you happen to be, no matter how old you are, no matter what gender you are, no matter what your situation is. If you do not acknowledge God, the scripture uses the term the heathen. He says, behold ye among the heathen and regard the one and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though I told you. God says, I got something coming you wouldn't even believe. It would blow your mind if I told you what my plan. You told me what's bothering you, but you would just, your mind would just be completely blown if you knew what I'm doing. God has a solution for everything that's going on. All the stuff you think is a problem, God has a solution. He has power and he got authority over all of it. He knows what's going on. But it could be said that God has a long fuse. He can take a whole lot of junk, if you will. You know what? He took a lot from this one at one time in my life. He still takes quite a bit from this one, let me add. Because I don't do everything perfectly. That's why I say commitment to improvement.
is a very, very important thing. God has been putting up with all the sins of all the people all this time. God says, I got something you wouldn't even believe, Habakkuk, if I told you. It would blow your mind if you knew what I was really planning. I want to comfort you all today who believe and let you know that God knows what's going on. He knows what's going on in our lives. He's got a fix for it, and he's going to fix it in due time. He's already happy or satisfied because Jesus has already satisfied God for all people, whoever believes. If you happen to be in that group, you can know for sure Jesus alone has satisfied God for you on your behalf. If you're not in that group, I want you to know that God sent out the church to preach the good news, that he loves you just like you are. Whatever your struggle is, he said, I'm able to forgive you. I'm willing to forgive you. It might be said his hand is open, wide open, and you know everything in his hand. If we were to think of it as a card game, I'm showing you all my cards. My cards are face up, and I've given my son Jesus for you. And he has died and paid the bill for all your sin. If you come right now, I will forgive you of every sin. And if you become a disciple and become committed to improvement, I'll fix your life. I'll show you how life can be for you. If you walk by faith and not by sight, trust my word, trust my spirit, and you'll see that I have the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he goes on to let them know, the Habakkuk, he told him, you can read the rest of that first chapter. Habakkuk's mind was blown. You know what happened next? He said, I'm going to quit complaining. I'm just going to praise your name. I'm stopping complaining. I'm just going to praise your name. I'm going to praise your name and watch the solution. I'm going to wait upon the Lord. The Bible says those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm just going to trust you, Lord. Don't make no difference what's going on. I'm going to trust you. The Bible says trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. If you don't understand it, keep trusting. Take another step by faith. Walk by faith and not by sight. Lean on him and depend on him. He'll make a way out of no way. And so I want you to see this now. I want you to understand Habakkuk was distraught about the evil going on among the covenant people. Those are supposed to have been doing right. These are the covenant people. Based on the fact that he knew about the righteousness of God, he said, I know you're a righteous God. Why are you putting up with all this? Which put him in a quandary as to how the holy God could allow them to do such things without rendering any judgment. Why haven't you judged these people? Lord, sometimes we feel like that. We get on a pedestal. And we start to judge other people who are having more trouble than we are. We think. The key word is we think. But the fact is, God knows everything. He has never been surprised by anything. And he knows what to do. He knows the end from the beginning. And so you can trust him. So Habakkuk was having a little trouble figuring it out. Just as we are today, as we see sin running rampant, even in the visible church, you hear about stuff in the church, you go, was that a church person? Who did that? And we act like we're surprised. But he found out that regardless of how it appears, God was still on his throne, planning to use even others, even more evil, to bring about his judgment in due time. You know what? God uses the wicked to spank the righteous sometimes. Better be careful with that one. He can use the wicked to spank the righteous. If you will. That's what you see when you see the Chaldeans coming in, taking Israel into captivity, or Babylon, or those other nations. Who came? They thought, okay, we're God's people. God let Israel be completely demolished. Took them to the dust, down to the dust. And he can do it again. So when you see stuff going on like what we see, it's a wake-up call. It's time to strike up our commitment to improvement. You and I got to be on that right track. We got to be disciples in order to learn what God says and walk in his word. So God, the Father, sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, into the world. And the so-called religious people, whom he knew,
would misunderstand who he was and crucify him. God already knew that. Isn't that amazing when you think about it?
The word says he came to his own, but his own received him not. But unto as many as received him, to him he gave a right to fall to the power, even those that believe on his name. It's amazing when you think about it. God knew exactly what would happen when the religious people encountered God as a son of man. You know, he's not surprised why we know it's written in the Word. Then there are eons, the generations. And Jesus came to his own, and his own received him out. Think about it. God knew that this is what you people would do in the name of religion. So we don't watch it. You know what? The gospel is better than religion.
Because the gospel will save you if you trust in him. God had to make a way because religion couldn't get the job done. You need faith in the Son of God. And he, you know how you know you can trust him? He got out the grave and declared, "All power is given to me." And God has centered this world on him, in case you don't believe it. Check your calendar. The calendar is testifying that Jesus Christ is Lord every second of every day. Let's take a look quickly. My time has gotten away. We're going to look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And I want to bring some thoughts together to help as we close. Paul says this writing to the church at Corinth. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Did you know that God has given you and me the ministry of reconciliation? In other words, how do people get right with God? You and I have that ministry to tell other people how they can be right with God. All you have to do is trust in Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. That's the ministry of reconciliation. That's where it starts. Starts by faith in Jesus Christ. "Whosoever believes in the Son of God shall not be put to shame." Whoever, it doesn't make any difference what you're doing. God knows about your sin. He knows all about it. But he's made one way for every man, woman, boy, and girl to be declared righteous. Now you have so many people today in the visible church, we want to exclude this group or that group over there or these folks there. But you know what? God isn't excluding anyone. God is including everyone. "Whosoever believes in him." You know what? There, and I hear this, and I got to say here, I got to go here before I close. I hear stuff about, oh, the black church. Yeah, the white church. To this church, to that church. And I'm thinking, oh, are you kidding? God's probably thinking that too. You know what? He told the disciples to preach to every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. You know who that includes? Everybody on the whole planet. So why don't we understand that today? People always want to talk about, oh, the black church is doing this. What black church? Where is this black church? That's kind of what they were doing back when Jesus came. Oh, we're the scribes, or we're the Sadducees, or we're the Pharisees, or we're the Essenes. They have all these denominations. You know what? None of them knew who Jesus was when he came. They were all blind to the Son of God and the prophecy that he had given them. They were so blind, they crucified him. And we got something like that going on today. Beware. The church is universal. It consists of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. You know how you know you read in Revelation, John said, "I saw a number coming up before God, which no man can number, of every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue and people, coming up before the throne of God." So that's how we know that that's the real church. The one that is impartial to different people and all of that. So we are impartial. You know what? I can't fix you. You know why? I can't fix me. But I can help you get fixed. I know the one who fixes people. I know the one who got me off the wrong track and put me on the King's Highway. I know him. I know I'm a little better than I was before I found him. And before he found me, really, he wasn't lost. I was the one that was lost. But when he found me, he put me on the right road. And so the greatest commitment that you and I must have is the commitment to improvement. You must be committed to improvement. That means I want to know what God says. I realize His Word is the vehicle through which He can change and shape my character and my behavior. And He'll make me what He wants me to be if I study His Word. That's why He took, He could have zapped people into salvation. But you know what He did? He came into the world, born of a virgin, lived in the world just like you did for 30 years, started a ministry that took 3.5 years, training everyday individuals from all walks of life, tax collectors, folks who had been rejected by the religious community. And He trained fishermen and people with everyday jobs and occupations. You see, and He began to train them in order to have them go evangelize the world. He didn't stop up there where all the religious people were, because all of them were plotting, how can I kill Him? How can we get rid of Him? Because he's stepping on our toes. But Paul goes on to say here as we close, looking again at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, verse 19, he says, let's back up to 18. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's what you and I have. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's what you and I have. Now we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray, you and Christ did, be ye reconciled to God. In other words, get your account right with God. For He hath made Him, speaking of Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. One way to be declared righteous, that's by faith in Jesus Christ. So Paul writes about the pattern of regeneration by the new birth. In other words, when you trust Christ, you will be born again from above. And when you trust in Christ Jesus, which makes the believer a new creation, you become a whole new creation when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, who is now equipped to live a life, the believer is equipped to live a life of improved biblical understanding, which produces progressive sanctification in every saved life, as well as evangelism of others who also need to be reconciled to God. So that's where we are, and we pray that that's where you are. So I'm going to go right now and invite you and anyone in this room who is not saved to trust in the Lord right now. If you've never done it before, get started right away. Start right away. It's a very, very worthwhile pursuit to start to trust God right away. I'm going to leave you in a word of prayer. Anybody listening by Facebook or any other team that we're on right now, you can be saved too. God wants you to be saved. Pray with me right now. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we praise your name, Father. We bless you. We thank you today, Lord God. We give you all the praise and the glory. We come just like we are. Father, we know we have sinned and come short of you, Lord. But we have heard that gospel, the good news, that you have given Jesus your Son in order to save whosoever believes in him. Father, we come just like we are. And we invite you right now, Lord, to fill us with your Spirit as you promised in your Word. Put us on that right track, O God, to move forward in your name. And Father, we bless the name of Jesus right now. We believe you raised him from the dead so that we can be saved. And so bless us right now with the gift of salvation. And we give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And we are also accepting a member by letter or a candidate for baptism at this time. If you're here today and you are not a member of the church, we'd like to offer that to you right now. We offer Christ to you right now. Amen. And you can come at this time. If you are desiring membership, amen. And with St. Timothy, we ask you to come at this time. Amen.